Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour episode number 3. This week we're going to talk about the Disney Vacation Club. What is it? How does it work? Is it right for you and your family? And we're going to take a little time in the beginning of the show to discuss the new attraction coming to Epcot, which is Frozen-based, and all that entails. To my left, as usual, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me on the Disney show, as usual, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Pete. And as always, say hello, Pogo. Alright, that was Wishery by Pogo. I'll be putting up a link to the video for that on the page and the show notes and all that good stuff. And if you want to look into more of his music, you can find him at soundcloud.com/pogomix. You can find him on YouTube at youtube.com/pogo and his main site where you can find links to places you can buy his music and all that kind of good stuff is pogomix.net. For us, our website is lastgenpodcast.com. You can tweet us at lastgenpodcast. We have a Facebook page that you can find if you search for Last Gen. And Brian, how do people go about finding the group page that you created?
They can just do a search in Facebook up on the top. There should be a search box and you can put in Disney Magic Hour and it should be the first thing that pops up.
Yep.
And then that's it.
All right, great. And our show on iTunes is up and ready. And actually, I uploaded the new artwork so it matches the title of the show. So I'm not really sure how long that's going to take, though. Sometimes stuff like that happens really quick. Other times it can take like a week. So I don't know. We'll find out if that works by the time that we're going there. Let's first go into really our only bit of news. And then we're going to really dive into the whole Disney Vacation Club. Because after last week's show, I had a couple of people ask me, what the hell is Disney Vacation Club? And I'm assuming you guys, I mean, Melissa, how many times have you been asked about what is Disney Vacation Club if you've ever just said like DVC to somebody?
Well, I say DVC and then I immediately have to say Disney Vacation Club because they don't understand that and I forget sometimes. And then they're like, what is that? And I say, well, it's like a timeshare, but I know there's more to it. So it's not
simply
that.
Yeah, there's a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
It's a lot more flexibility. You're not locked into a certain time of year to go and use your points or your ownership. But we'll go into all that later. Who wants to discuss the new ride thing? You want me to tell the description and then we'll give our thoughts on
it? Yeah, just go into it.
Okay. If you follow Disney news and whatnot, you're probably well aware that 2 years ago, or about a year ago or so, they closed Maelstrom in Epcot. Which is located in the Norway Pavilion.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. And much hullabaloo was made about it, suddenly. I don't know. Never had people on it before, but as soon as you take something away, everyone suddenly has a big emotional reaction to it. But anyways, everyone knew that a Frozen attraction was going to be going in there, and today, right now, as we're recording, today is what, Tuesday?
Yes.
You'll probably be hearing this Thursday, so it's been out there for a couple of days. Well, actually, Wednesday night it will go up. And they finally announced the name of the attraction, which is Frozen Ever After. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of information that comes straight from the Wall Street Journal article that broke the news, where the people who were showed the storyboards and everything, they were brought into a virtual tour room called The Dish that utilizes 3D images projected on walls, ceiling, and the floor to simulate a ride before it is built.
That's really cool. Wow.
It sounds so cool.
I know, right? That's amazing.
I feel like, why don't they should let people do this?
Yeah.
To build up excitement up to the thing. Is that like what?
Was that kind of like what you saw when they were announcing the Avatar ride, where you saw like the people in like a little like, I don't want to say box, but like a little standing area and like the images of Pandora were up on the wall?
Well, that was more like they had the images projected that they were going to be using into the attraction. This seemed more of a showroom built to promo it. It wasn't for the people. I'm sure they also use it for the people working on it to then virtually ride it
right.
and say, okay, we gotta fix that. We gotta fix that. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think they would have shown it to the public, to the news outlets, without it being exactly what the ride is going to be.
Right.
So I guess there's kind of a spoiler alert. you know, the more I go into this article, not that anything overly shocking happens. This is pretty much what you would expect a Frozen ride to be.
Yeah.
And we'll go into that aspect of it after I give you a little thing. It doesn't feature any new songs, but there are several new lyrics to existing melodies written for Frozen Ever After by movie composers Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. That's interesting. Now, let's remember that when we get to the second part.
Okay.
I think there's a big part of this ride they're not saying anything about yet.
Yeah.
It seems like they're using the original track system.
Yes, from what I read, it's the same track system.
It's the same track system and the same boats.
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably...
I'm sure they'll spruce them up, but yeah,
they'll
spruce
them up a wee bit.
Maybe put some frost on there for Elsa.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I guess
that would be cool.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure there's going to be frost look everywhere. I don't think it's going to have the same entrance, though.
Well, no.
I don't know. I didn't see anything
according
about that.
According to what I was reading, is like you're kind of going to enter through Oaken's trading post. So I don't know if that's going to be where like that shop was when you exited. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it's going to look anything like it did before. Like, okay, the inside guts of the ride are the same, but I think the exterior, like that store, may not even be a store anymore.
This chair.
I'm sure.
Might be exiting through where you used to enter from Maelstrom, and maybe that portion is now a store. Who knows? All that stuff we'll find out. And this is actually all due to open next May.
Yes,
which wasn't in the article, but that's what everyone has been kind of saying.
Well, that's the rumor, right? That's nothing official.
That's
but.
True. Let's put that in. That is a rumor. It's, I don't know. I'm wondering. Okay, let's go into it. You do a stop at Troll Valley mm-hmm. where, I don't want to read everything verbatim. You go. You used to make a stop at Troll Alley. There's a big scene with Elsa on the balcony singing Let It Go. If you didn't know that was going to happen. I don't know.
You didn't see the movie.
You're surprised by sunlight when you wake up in the mornings. Visitors will next ride by Marshmallow, the giant formerly evil snowman from Frozen, and his miniature Snowgy pals. Now, this is based on something that happened in Frozen Fever, the short that ran in front of Cinderella.
Yes.
Right.
Which I did not see.
I didn't either.
So I have no idea what that's referring to. Little kids.
No, I think you can see the short up on YouTube. I saw a post one about
the whole thing
about watching it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they're basically they're like little mini snowmen.
Okay. The audio animatronic characters are going to be very akin to what you've seen if you have experienced it at the Seven Dwarves Mine Train ride, in where the faces are made by projections that are inside of the head models. To enable more lifelike animation.
Is that kind of what they do also with the Haunted Mansion with the singing heads?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. So that's going to be how it looks. And the real interesting part was somebody asked about how does this fit into Epcot's World Pavilion, because Arendelle is fictional and they are putting it into Norway, which... the film is based on. The film is geographically, look-wise, based on Norway. It's also culturally based on Norway.
Yeah.
They just call it Arendelle in the same fashion that there is no Agrabah in Aladdin. Yeah.
Yes.
And when you go to Morocco, Aladdin and Jasmine are there, even though if you wanted to really be nitpicky, they have no reason being there. So for me, the person that complains about this not being really in Norway would also have to pick it in front of Aladdin.
Yeah.
So I think it's a silly thing.
It's just people that want to complain about.
It seems
stuff.
Like a lot. Of, yeah.
That's
like
what
I didn't like the popular movies.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's more backlash against Frozen the movie than it is that they're just looking for reasons to not like it.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean,
which
if you don't
fine.
Like
That's
it, it's not going to matter.
Like
Everyone
like
else
yeah.
is going to do it. An interesting thing though, Frozen, when it released and when it got really, really popular, It boosted tourism in Norway by 34%, according to a Time Life article, and a numerous, was it 36? It was 34, 36%. So obviously people have been able to make the obvious connection that this is based on Norway, and it got people's excitement up. So if it worked for national tourism, there's going to be a lot of people now who normally would just walk by the Norway Pavilion completely.
Yeah.
They're going to stop. They're going to go on this ride. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to exit out into the Norway proper pavilion and then look at the other stores maybe, because they'll actually be interested and invested a little bit. So this, if anything, will be helpful. You also have to take into effect, Norway doesn't give anything towards this ride. Like, the nation.
No, they don't contribute at all.
They don't contribute at all. They did when it first opened.
They did, yes.
And that's why, if you really break it down, Maelstrom was about an oil rig.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ultimately, it was about their industrial business. And that was the big finale, was an oil rig. Which, for me, I always equated that to, if there was a dark ride about America, if you finished in a oil vat in McDonald's.
Yeah.
It doesn't, to me, like, scream Norway culture. I also I heard someone complain today. They were like, oh, now it's just going to be about trolls. And I was like, wait.
Did you ride the original?
Like, yeah, that's what the original was.
Yeah.
The original was trolls, a polar bear, and an oil rig.
And an oil rig for the most
part. That was
the
ride.
Yeah, the trolls again, pushed you over the...
The falls.
That was like the big thing. I thought that was really funny. They were like, great, it's just going to be trolls now. It's like, oh, it kind of was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were complaining or they were really happy.
Yeah. Tyrion Hendis does the voice. That'll be cool.
So Tom Skaggs was asked about, you know, the fittingness of Frozen Ever After into this particular thing, you know, since it's based on a movie and it's not fact-based on an actual place. So his response basically was, if the goal is to give people a taste of something like Scandinavia with the Norway Pavilion, then Frozen would only increase the extent to which people would be drawn into it. To me, it doesn't seem out of character at all. That's a pretty straight answer from the guy who's going to be CEO, by the way.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking over Iger when Iger steps down. It's pretty much all but confirmed. I'm okay with this. You know what I'm really curious of, though? Those different lyrics.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, that is really interesting.
I'm wondering if the Ever After... Now, I didn't see Frozen Fever, so I don't know what it was really about, but I'm wondering if the Ever After... And there was a piece in the article that says, like, you'll ride past Anna and Kristoff, and it only said those two, so I'm wondering if it's going to deal with maybe them getting married. I don't know... per se.
I guess. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that would make sense.
Because then you could do, like, a reprise of The First Time in Forever. And...
which I thought should have been in the movie.
Yeah.
I remember I said that. I was like, this is weird that you don't get a reprise at the end.
That is weird. I never thought of that.
Yeah, the last song that happens is...
the Fixer Upper
song. Yeah, the Fixer Upper track. And then that's it.
And then
you don't
music.
Get a reprise of anything else.
Yeah.
Which actually, Beauty and the Beast does the same thing.
Yeah.
The last song is the mob song.
But then at the end, when he's turned into a prince and, like, they're celebrating, like, the end credits go back to Tale as Old as Time.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure the same thing happens in Frozen. They use the music from the original.
I don't know.
I have to double listen.
I have to watch that.
No, but I'm saying, like, during the Beauty and the Beast dance is when they do the Tale as Old as Time again. Same thing in Sleeping Beauty. They did the Once Upon a Dream again. So, I mean...
I'm just talking about using the music, not them dancing.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, there was no part of Frozen that I could see them replaying a musical clip in my head.
I thought you could. Yeah. At the end, when she's, like, you know, making the water fountain and everyone's, you know, having fun and blah, blah, blah. You could have put in The First Time in Forever. That would have worked fine.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have been a problem at all. I'm curious if they're going to try to inject a little more Norway into this ride, though, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's just going to be based on this, and that's about it.
And, like, the World Showcase is not, you know, historically accurate.
No, it's not.
Historically accurate pavilions to begin with.
Yeah, no,
it's supposed to be like a whimsical kind of look at these things to entice you to want to learn more about these countries and to visit these pavilions and to, you know, to maybe go there and stuff like that. That basically, they were to increase tourism and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't see how this is. I don't understand the big problem that people have with this. I really don't.
Well, funny enough, though, on a number of boards that I was kind of following today, it's a really overly positive reaction.
It is positive.
And with, then, like, with a couple of smatterings of, they've ruined it. They've ruined Disney. And every time I read that, I'm like, well, I can't even take your opinion.
Yeah.
Seriously.
See, those ones I can't even take. The, oh, more Frozen, I can hear that and I can understand that. That argument that people have, I can understand that argument. Yeah. Oh, more Frozen. But being that, oh my God, how could you take away Maelstrom and put this there? I don't get that argument. I'm sorry.
I don't get that argument at all.
You have no leg to stand on with that one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Frozen's the only thing that fits. I mean, when they redid the Mexico ride, they put Three Caballeros in. I bet you 3/4 of the people who go on that ride never saw the movie. But, I mean, you know, that was what fit in that thing. So, you know, yeah, it's more Frozen, but that's what fits. And Norway wasn't giving to the pavilion, so
and
really...
Epcot, I believe it was the last 2 or 3 years have really kind of stagnated in terms of park numbers.
09 to 13, right? Yeah, they have not had a bump.
Yeah, so they need to do something.
And that kind of fit.
You know, that kind of fit what they did in Disneyland, California Adventures. They put Cars Land in, and that bumped it up. I think it was 34%. Just from having Cars Land put in there. And if you don't think this is going to bump up the numbers in Epcot, then you haven't
really
been paying attention. Because
I mean, kids don't really care about Epcot.
No, they don't.
And now they have something to go to, and this will bring more families over to there, and it's going to really make the Norway Pavilion the pavilion for probably the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Until they announce new stuff, which I think there's going to be a lot of changes at Epcot over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
My biggest dream is tear down Ellen's... I think I said this last
Ellen's
week.
Ellen's Adventure.
Yeah, I want them to redo that, make it a... still do something with energy and with the universe.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, you do get Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Exactly, get those two guys, and I will be there 100%. I would watch 45 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you like his Ship of Imagination like he did in Cosmos?
Which one?
When Neil deGrasse Tyson did the Cosmos show, he was always in that Ship of Imagination that could go really tiny, really big.
Yeah, and they couldn't use the same thing because it's owned by Fox. But yeah, the same idea could absolutely be put in. And that would really fit in well with Mission Space right there.
Yeah.
You know, something that goes a little more than just you going to Mars. And did you just go to Mars in that one?
Yeah, I believe it is what it is.
I only did it once.
I never went on it because I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah, we did it once. I don't really feel the need to ever kind of do it again.
Yeah, no.
They warn you so many times that if you can't, like, deal with spinning to get the hell out of the building.
I know. I think you gave my sister a panic attack.
Yeah. You know what? Then it worked. Because obviously she wouldn't have been able to deal with it. If that makes it... But it was nerve-wracking.
It sounds like Gary Sinise, he's really
Gary
like...
Gary Sinise, every 5 minutes, is like, hey, this thing spins a lot. Are you ready? Like, if you're not, get out. It's like, all right.
Start in with, like, I could do this. And then by, like, the third time, you're like, I don't know anymore.
Like, maybe I don't want to do this anymore. Actually, I also read somebody today. They were like, I don't understand why it's going there. It would be a much better idea if you put it near... can't even say it without laughing. If you put it near the Seas with Nemo or Test Track. It's like, wait. It doesn't... The Frozen attraction doesn't fit near the pavilion that the movie is based off of. But it fits near an aquarium or a car simulator?
If it doesn't go in Norway, it doesn't belong in Epcot. That's the only place in Epcot it can go.
That's the only place it can go.
The only other, you know, Hollywood Studios it could fit, or Magic Kingdom, of course. But if you're going to put it in Epcot, you have to put it in Norway.
But there is a lot of Frozen. But you know what? I started like thinking, like, okay, how much are other things? Little Mermaid is way too much.
Oh, yeah, but you know what it is?
Beauty and the Beast is the same thing. Like, that's in numerous parks, sometimes multiple things in a park.
Well, you know what I think it is, too? Frozen was the new big thing. So everybody, I can't really like it because everyone else likes it mentality, I think some people have.
That's the nowadays
and plus,
mentality.
Little Mermaid and Big Beauty and the Beast are popular, but they were popular in the 90s.
Yeah, 89.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a long time ago, so it's more nostalgic. People have more nostalgia feeling for that as opposed to Frozen, where people are just like, I think it's overkill. But
yeah, like, I the number one thing, a lot of things I always hear is like, it's not the greatest movie. It's like, well, okay, it doesn't matter if it's the greatest movie. Who cares?
It's not about what's the greatest movie. It's about what makes them the most money.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of money.
A ton of money.
A ton of merchandising. If you want to not believe that that's what the ultimate goal is of Disney, Walt Disney World, all that stuff, I'm sorry, but it is.
There's only so much you can kind of fantasize about.
It's about making money.
It goes back to something I want to say I brought up in the very first episode. You get the also like, oh, well, Walt would never do this. It's like, Walt built Disneyland based on a princess whose movie didn't come out for another 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, they built a castle that no one had any connection to promo a film that was not going to come out for another 4 years. Mm-hmm. You didn't see people, like, screaming, like, oh, my God, you've destroyed Snow White. You should have built her castle. Because people didn't have the ability to cry as much.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anytime you think that, though, like, Walt wouldn't do this. Like, yeah, he did, actually. He did it all the time because he knew what he was doing and he knew what would get people into the park. And he knew he had to promo himself because no one else was going to do it for him.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's for another year, which actually isn't too far away.
No,
not at all.
If it's less than a year now.
If it actually sticks, it is less than a year. It's 11 months away. So hopefully that happens. All right, so let's go into our main thing for tonight. And that is the Disney Vacation Club and what it is. Does anyone want to kind of describe overall what it is? Hands?
I'm nervous to say anything incorrect.
So then don't. I don't know. Brian, you want to do it?
The Disney Vacation Club, to put it succinctly, is Disney's version of a timeshare. That's basically the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to guarantee yourself vacations at Disney for 50, well, depending on when your contract is, but 50 years is usually the starting contract.
If you buy a brand new contract, it is a 50-year lease.
Yeah, your brand new contract. Yes, that's right.
So how this works is you basically make an investment, and your investment will be paid off in a 10-year mortgage. But then you continue having this investment, this timeshare, for lack of a better term, for an additional 40 years after it. So if you're a Disney fan, let's say that right from the top. If you're interested in going to Disney once a year, this is probably a good thing for you. If you like to go twice a year, this is definitely a good thing for you. You'll probably be breaking even the first number of years due to how much you're going to be paying per month for the mortgage loan and for your dues. But once you pay down that balance, you're only going to be paying dues. And when you start really looking at how much these rooms that you'll be using cost on an average per night, you're making out like a bandit. So initially, there isn't crazy savings. The savings comes in over time, and I think it's easy to say that over time, as long as the dues don't go insane, you probably will be saving about 50% on your stays.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
So let's first talk about the properties that are involved in the Disney Vacation Club. A number of them are directly on Walt Disney World property. And then you have one in Disneyland, and then one in Hawaii. And are we including
one in South Carolina?
Okay,
and one in Vero Beach, Florida.
Okay,
well, we'll throw them in there. We'll just let them know
that they're
there.
Yeah, because you can't buy into those.
Yes, can
that be
yes.
your? Those can
yes,
be your
can.
Homes. Oh
yes.
Wow,
in
that's
where?
Interesting. In Vero,
Beach and Hilton Head. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's first talk about the ones that are on Walt Disney World property proper. Starting from the top alphabetically, you have Animal Kingdom Lodge and Villas, which is actually comprised of two separate buildings, Jumbo House and Kidani. Now, Jumbo House was a normal hotel.
It was
initially
part of the normal hotel, the normal Animal Kingdom. It was the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
And the top two floors?
The top two floors have been converted to DVC.
DVC rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then they built an entire new building that's all DVC rooms, and that's called Kidani Village. Additionally, another brand new building is Bay Lake Tower, which sits right next, well, if you're looking at it, it's to the left of Disney's Contemporary Resort. This features actual views of Magic Kingdom, mm-hmm. which you can watch the fireworks from your
if you have
balcony.
A, yeah, yeah, if you have a room facing the kingdom.
If you have
yeah.
a room facing the kingdom, you can watch the fireworks right from your stop right there. What's up?
Also, in the Bay Lake Towers, there's the lounge up
top
on...
Top of the World Lounge?
Yeah, Top of the World Lounge. And as long as you're a Disney Vacation Club member, you have access to that, which you can then watch the fireworks from.
So that's great also.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Disney Beach Club Villas, which is based on the Mid-Atlantic in the early 20s. You then have Disney's Boardwalk Villas, which is based on Atlantic City.
Yeah.
You know, a term of that. And that's one of my favorite places.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place.
The boardwalk itself is really gorgeous. There's a couple of great restaurants there. Yeah.
It's
Fulton's Flying Fish.
Flying Fish is there. Not Fulton's, just Flying Fish.
Fulton's was there, too.
Beaches and Cream's there.
Yeah, that's more of like an ice cream
that's
parlor
an ice cream,
shop, right?
It's like, yeah, like an old-time ice cream parlor shop, burgers, yeah. milkshakes, that sort of stuff.
And on that hotel, you can have a room facing the boardwalk, mm-hmm. or you can have a standard view.
Yeah.
But the rooms facing the boardwalk, the view is phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's on like a little like lake area with beach club and the yacht club across
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, there's,
which we'll get
you
to,
can
yeah,
see
like
a couple of
little...
other ones. Actually, you know, taking a step backwards, the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the big feature of that resort is the Savannah View rooms where your balcony overlooks the Savannah, which is filled with animals. It can be zebras, giraffes,
antelope,
okapi.
Yeah. yeah, all different types of antelope, birds,
yeah.
storks, the cattle.
Yeah, what's uncoli cattle?
Uncoli with the big, huge horns.
With the huge yeah. horns. Yeah. So that's really, really something. We've had that room a number of times because that's actually our home, which we'll define what a home resort is mm-hmm. in a bit. Jumping back over to the new... Not the newest. I take that back. It is now the second newest. The Villas at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Me and Melissa just stayed here 3 weeks ago? A month ago? Just about a month ago?
Yeah, a little under.
That is a brand new building built adjacent to the Grand Floridian. It's all DVC rooms as well. It's not a lot of rooms either.
No, I have the number. It's 147 villas.
Wow, that's
wow,
it.
That's huh? nothing.
There's,
that's nothing.
No wonder it's so hard.
There
yeah,
are only
to get
eight
in.
Grand villas. Which we'll get into. Grand villas
that
are
seems
like
a pretty
ones.
Decent number.
Yeah.
Actually, that seems like a pretty
types,
decent number.
So
yeah, we'll get into the room types in a moment. The original. Is this the original or is it Saratoga?
No, I think it's Old Key.
Old Key, right?
Is the original, yes.
Next up is Disney's Old Key West Resort, which, to describe it perfectly, it's living in a Jimmy Buffett video. absolutely love it. It looks like you're on a beach resort. Everything's white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White and those like pastels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lots of whites, lots of pastels.
And that's all Disney Vacation Club. There's no like hotel part to that.
Yeah. You can always buy a room with cash, but all the rooms are designed for the DVC villa, you know, experience.
Yeah. Because a couple of these we've mentioned, like Animal Kingdom with Jumbo or Grand Floridian or Contemporary, they've been regular or, you know, the regular hotels.
Well, Contemporary wasn't.
Contemporary was it?
With Bay Lake.
Well, Bay Lake.
No, but I'm saying, but that they added, whether it's a separate building or like Jumbo where they refurbed a couple floors.
Okay.
They added Vacation Club parts to those.
Okay.
But Old Key West is, since it was the first, it's solely villas.
Yeah, it was nothing previous. Right.
It was nothing previous.
Okay.
It was,
all right. Next up is Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows. This is actually the newest DVC property. And much like Animal Kingdom has that Savannah view, which is kind of their specialty. There is a really big specialty over at the Disney Polynesian. Strangely enough, they also have the largest studios at 460 square feet. They do not, though, have one-bedroom villas or two-bedroom villas. Again, room types that we'll get into in a moment. But they do have an exclusive expansion known as the Bora Bora Bungalows. There are only 20 of these,
yeah,
and they are 1,650 square feet each. They have two full bathrooms, a kitchen, laundry services, of course, thank God. Helsa has a private deck with a personal plunge pool. Now, well, what exactly is a plunge pool? I'm always kind of been iffy on, because I thought it was just a hot tub.
No, it's not like a hot tub, because a hot tub would be like hot and you could put like the jets on and stuff.
That's a good point. It would be.
Yeah. This is, it mirrors a hot tub in the way that it's tiny, but it's like you can just kind of step in and take a dip. It's only a certain amount of square footage, so it's not like you can like...
Right, so it's like the size of a hot tub, but it isn't a hot tub.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And you could, and it's like the opening of it is flush with the deck, so when you go into it, you step down. So like you could put your arms on the deck.
Okay, all right. Kind of thing. That's really cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
These private decks also have music piped into them, so you can watch the fireworks from your bungalow. You can also watch the electric water pageant from your bungalow, because you're right on the water. Those are really, really pricey.
Those are crazy.
We can't break down like every point chart, because we'll be here for hours. This is really just an overview of everything, and then you know you can go as deep into this as you'd like, and we'll go deeper into it on later episodes. Then going over to our final, Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. This was also purely built for the use of DVC rooms. And they also have a nice little extra feature, and that is the Treehouse Villa, which these are three bedrooms. Two of the bedrooms have a queen bed, and one has bunk beds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
With a clean sleep sofa and a sleeper chair in the living room. These room, what, up to eight people?
Yes.
Okay, up to eight people. So that's a lot. And how these work, they're elevated treehouses that are really in the middle of the woods. Very, you know, very nice and secluded, but not crazy secluded. You're not going to feel like, you know,
you're on Friday the 13th or anything.
Yeah, like they're just nice. They're very comfy, very cozy.
They're really cool looking. They're completely round, so it's very cool to see them in the woods.
Yeah. And not crazy when it comes to the amount of points needed to stay at this place.
No, because I think it's a two-bedroom point-wise.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really great. And it's such a unique experience that I'm surprised. They could have jacked the points on this one. But they did not.
Do you know how many there are? I didn't look.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd have a number on that.
Because I'm wondering if it's more than the bungalows. Like, obviously the bungalows' numbers are limited, so they had to make them expensive because, you know.
20 seems like a lot to me. I would be surprised if there's 20 treehouse villas.
Reason, I have a feeling it's in the 40s. I'm going to look it up
You look it up, and I'll talk about it.
Yeah,
because
you
could
hide those things in the woods.
Next up is Disney's Wilderness Lodge Villas. This is obviously located at the Wilderness Lodge. And if I remember correctly, these are also converted rooms within the Wilderness Lodge, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so.
But there is a big rumor slash, it's not really a rumor because they've found like paperwork for
they
permits.
Filed,
There's going to be an expansion coming to the Wilderness Lodge, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, great. Does anyone know exactly what that is?
No.
I think it's going to be, because it's right on the water over there, too. I think they're going to kind of have, like, waterfront...
Like cabins.
Yeah, like waterfront type things. And the treehouse villas, there are 60 of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
So it's triple the number. All right, cool.
Very nice. Yes. Well, that's a lot, actually.
That is, yeah.
All right, no, that's good. That's good. So those are your resorts that are on property. You then also have...
you didn't do Yacht Club.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. I totally forgot that one.
I know a lot of times it's like yacht and beach.
That's
kinda
why.
Like
it's included in the beach club villas.
But they are two separate things, because like if you go to dinner at the yacht club, it's different than going to the beach club.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
All right, so do you want to talk about that really quick? Do you have anything on that or just...
Just that they're two separate. They're on that same little lake that's the boardwalk overlooks.
Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of a sister resort to the beach club villa.
Yeah. A lot of times you'll hear people refer to it as the Yacht and Beach Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. I probably should have said that before. Yeah. I probably should have said Disney's Yacht and Beach Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I guess it would be the same as saying Jumbo and Kandani Village.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
it would
it's
fall
the same
into the
thing.
Same
it's
thing.
It's Disney's Animal Kingdom, you know.
So lunch. Now there is a resort at DVC Resort in Disney Land, which is the Disney's Grand Floridian.
No.
Grand Californian.
Grand Californian. You know how many times I've done that?
It's all right. It's okay.
That's also a place that it has regular rooms and then a DVC section as well.
Yeah, because those were added.
Hopefully we'll be there in about a year and a half.
That would be awesome.
Those rooms look really nice, too, from what I've seen.
They look really, really nice. And you have direct access out the back door to the park.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you can walk right into the park from the hotel, like literally into the park. Yeah.
I've heard, though, that on busy times, that might not be your best idea because it is such a busy entrance because everyone from the hotel is using that.
Yeah.
But we'll test that out on our own.
That can make sense.
One of the also newer properties that also just received a nice big addition, a facelift on a couple of features, unfortunately have not been there yet. It is in Hawaii. It is Disney's Aulani Resort and Spa. I don't really know what much to say about this. I want to go.
Yeah. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, and other than from what I've heard, it's the best resort that they've ever
done. That's what I've heard from numerous sources. Like, if you've been to a number of the DVC resorts, this one blows all the other ones away.
Yeah, it's on, what, Oahu, I believe? Oahu. And it faces, I forget which side of the island, but the resort, you do have a beach view and a pool view. So there are two different views there. And then, you know, your regular standard view, which is just like, you know, the trees, the parking lot.
Something like that.
And there's a lazy river that goes through the pool area, and that's just right up my alley.
Yeah.
But this place is pretty isolated.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Like, if you want to go and do other touristy things, you have to go.
Yeah.
And go find that other touristy stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of meant for you to be at the resort and stay at that resort.
Okay. It has some really great restaurant reviews. The restaurants there, from what I've read, have really great reviews.
Do you know the names of those by any chance?
I don't offhand. I can look it up while you...
Why don't you look that up, and we'll talk about... there is also a beach resort located in Florida called Vero Beach. This is also somewhere where you could use your DVC points. Very, very low point usage.
Yes.
You could stay there probably for a couple of weeks and not get killed.
Yeah.
So that's really, really nice. It's exclusively a beach resort. I want to say it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of...
No, I think it's south.
South? Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. South of the Walt Disney World Resort area. And then finally, there's Hilton Head.
Yep.
Which is where now?
South Carolina.
And that's... I don't know. Give a description of that. I know there's there's hiking areas. You can rent a bike.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive there's golf. They have a golf course on the DVC property. It's located in Hilton Head, South Carolina. So I'm sure there's plenty of other local things to do around there.
Well, Hilton Head's an island, so.
Okay.
And it's actually only about
So is Manhattan.
It's also only about 45 minutes from Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, that's great.
It's really south. Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
I think I mapped it. It's less than 3 hours, I want to say, or 4 hours from Orlando.
Really? That's
it?
Yeah.
That's
great.
I was on maps at work one day.
Okay. So that's great. So actually, if you're a local,
you really
have the resort area, Vero Beach, and Hilton Head all within a reasonable distance.
You could do a nice weekend at Hilton.
That's a weekend trip, really.
Yeah, that's our trip to D.C., a little less, actually.
Yeah. Depending on what time we leave, yes.
Do you want the restaurants at Aulani?
Yes, please.
Okay, so you have the, I'm going to pronounce all these wrong, but Ama-Ama. It's two A-M-A-A-M-A.
Ama-Ama.
Yeah. Contemporary Island Cooking. So you have, it's an open air restaurant, so it's not enclosed. You get to sit outside, it overlooks the beach area, and you have classic island, Hawaiian cuisine.
Okay.
They have their little snack places, the Lava Shack and little Opie-hees.
They serve lava?
I wish. No, little snacks. Dole Whip is there because only in Florida and Hawaii can you get Dole Whip.
It's not in California?
Nope.
Huh. It's a strike?
I don't believe so, at least.
No, I think...
I'm pretty sure
I read it's only those two places because the... climate in Florida and Hawaii are best. Obviously, it's native to Hawaii, but you have the there's a buffet for breakfast or dinner. It's called Makahiki. That's where you do your character dining.
Mm-hmm.
And then more snack shops, and then the casual cuisine is off the hook. So there you have your little tapas size stuff.
And just so if any Disneyland fans are listening, Tiki Juice Bar. does in fact serve Dole Whip.
Oh, good. Okay. So there's the three places.
That sounds, because that would sound insane.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that. I didn't think that was accurate. Okay, good. Yeah. Now we can go to Disneyland.
It's safe. They have Dole Whip.
It's okay. Before that knowledge, we were really 50-50.
Yeah. And then just one last one that I definitely want to mention. There is the Walana Pool Bar. It's straight up adults only, you know, for cocktails and stuff. And it's right beside the adult only pool.
Okay. So there are adult only areas of this resort as well.
I guess. Yeah. For just, you know.
I actually didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah.
I've actually really, it's weird. I haven't looked into Alani that much because I know we're not going to get there for a couple of years. Yeah. And I don't want to just torture myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's why we don't know a lot about as much about the offsite hotels because we don't, you know,
we haven't frequented them. Yeah, we are going to be next year. I mean, obviously, Vero and Hilton Head will be something that happens very easily, which is crazy to think of.
Yeah, and at Vero, I don't know, we just done real quick. They have also bungalows.
Oh, very nice.
It's tinier, obviously, than the Polynesian ones, but yeah, you can have like a little thing to yourself.
All right, so that's all the resorts that you can use through Disney for your Disney Vacation Club ownership. You can also rent rooms via RCI, which is a third party usage that has hotels everywhere. Whether or not they're available is a whole other deal. I haven't had much luck with them thus far. Every time I try to get a room through RCI, it's just not available. In the defense, it's always New York City or Boston that we've tried, which, you know, if you're going to pick two of the busier places on Earth, I guess those are the two of them. So, I don't know. We'll give it a whirl. Actually, I have to give it a whirl again, maybe. No, I can't, because we don't have points available right now. I was thinking about for the Comic-Con, which, yeah, that's
when
a whole
nother. We did do that once for the Comic-Con. We rented. It wasn't RCI at that point.
It wasn't, no.
But we did get to rent a hotel room through the Disney.
Through DVC. It was a concierge collection.
Yeah.
It was incredibly price-heavy, point-heavy, though.
But it was really beautiful.
Well, that's
it
the,
was.
That's the thing, too. You can use the points at the other resorts on Disney also, but they're not the point, the amount of points you'd have to use to do them, it's not. It doesn't make them effective.
Same with the Disney cruise. You can use your points towards a Disney cruise, but if you do the math, it's a terrible, terrible transfer.
Yeah.
So never do that either. You're better off renting out your points to family and friends or through a DVC resale website and then getting cash and then using that to book a cruise, which me and Melissa have done. So now you know of all the places. The first thing you're going to want to do, depending on availability, most of these places are sold out, but there's always points available in a resale market. And Disney is also always purchasing back people's points who are looking to sell. So if you really, really want to stay and have ownership at, let's say, the Yacht and Beach Club, initially nothing may be available if you speak to a salesperson, but you can be put on a wait list. And then, you know, when anything comes up availability-wise, you'll be notified. How this works is, you want to pick out what would be your quote-unquote home resort. Now, the only difference that really brings you is your home resort, you can book your stay up to 11 months in advance. And then all the remaining resorts, you can book your stay when 7 months in advance comes up on the calendar. Now, 11 months in advance to a lot of people might be like, wow, that's a really long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Book 11 months in advance.
Yeah, if you can do it.
Always, you know, always have that there. Because at that 7 month mark, you might be able to find some other spots. But you may not be able to. You may not get exactly what you want. So the rule of thumb that I've always followed is book at your home resort at the 11 month mark. And then when the 7 month mark comes up, see what's available. Maybe you want to put yourself on a wait list to try to reserve at another hotel. And then if it becomes available, great. They actually do a transfer for you. They'll cancel the existing resort stay that you have and swing you into the other one. So that's a little tip. Always book your home resort just so you know that you're going to be somewhere.
Yeah, because when you're going at the 7 month mark, you're 4 months behind all the people who have booked at that home resort. So sometimes, like, you know, Boardwalk, for instance, it is very hard to get in on the 7 month mark there. Yeah, we've tried.
Especially at certain times of year. Certain times of year, certain resorts are more in demand. I know Boardwalk, obviously, when Food and Wine, Boardwalk is like impossible.
Yeah.
I know some of the, I know when some of the Disney marathons, the Disney races have become very big, and I know a lot of those resorts sometimes that are close to wherever the race is taking place, they book up fast.
They book up quickly as well.
So, you know, and that's why, like, a good tip is when you're looking, if you are looking, pick, you should really base your resort on where you would want to stay.
Yeah.
Don't always go off of what's the, because if you go recently, if you go through Disney, there are different price points for each different resort.
Yeah, these are not all priced equally. When you buy into a resort, you're going to get a fluctuation in price from Old Key West to the Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
Grand Floridian currently is the most expensive per point.
Polynesian?
I thought Grand Floridian was above
I think Grand is above it.
Yeah?
Because it's the Grand.
I think it fit in
I just, below because it was sold out, I didn't know if they even cared at this point.
I don't know. What do you think? What, to give it away for free now?
No. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
No, but like, because they are not like actively selling it. Like,
but they are, because you can be put on a wait list.
Yeah, okay.
So everything is always for sale.
Mm-hmm.
It just may not be available immediately when you want to purchase it.
Yeah.
Currently, if you want to buy into the Disney Vacation Club, if you're a first-time buyer, you have to purchase a minimum of 100 points. Now, what are points? Points are the measurement used to figure out how long you can stay and where, basically. It fluctuates throughout the year. It's based on, basically, the attendance level average of the parks. Busier times a year, it's more points per day. Slower times a year, it's less points per day. If you're staying on a weekend, also known as a Friday night or a Saturday night, the points are a little more expensive than the night staying for Sunday through Thursday night.
Right.
What kind of a room do you want? There are four?
Four categories.
Yeah.
There's a studio. There's a one-bedroom. There's a two-bedroom. There's a grand villa. Now, depending on what resort you stay at, these can even kind of have their subcategories. We'll use Animal Kingdom as an example. I brought up before that this is a savanna view where you can see animals from your deck. So there's a two-bedroom savanna view, and that has a certain point total. A lesser point total would be a two-bedroom standard view, which will get you a view of possibly the pool,
mm-hmm.
something like that, overlooking the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's even the two-bedroom value view,
right,
which might be the parking lot.
Yeah, and they're very difficult because there's not that many of them.
Yeah, there's not that many of them. Those are the first ones people usually chomp up.
Because the points are a lot less.
So to give you an actual number example of how the points can fluctuate from one to the other, let's say you want to go January. The whole month of January is categorized as adventure season, also known as value season.
It's the cheapest.
Yeah. It's the lowest time.
The lowest points.
If you want to go for a full week in a standard view at a studio, it's going to run you 81 points. If you wanted a savanna view, same amount of time, same time of year, it's going to be 102 points. Now, to give you an even broader example, let's say you were looking for a two-bedroom. You're going with eight people, okay? You want to get a lot of people in there. You're going to have a separate bedroom with a queen bed. You're going to have a living room with a pull-out and a pull-out chair.
Yep.
And then you have the master bedroom, which has a queen bed as well.
King bed.
Yeah. And its own private bathroom and whatnot. Actually, in the two bedrooms in Animal Kingdom Kidani, there are three bathrooms.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah, it works out really well.
And for that, to give you an example, again, during January, the lowest time of year, if you wanted to rent a two-bedroom for an entire week in a savanna view, it would be 273 points. The same room for a value view, 185.
Wow.
So it's a massive difference. This also comes into effect when, you know, you talk about Sunday through Thursday versus Friday through Saturday. Again, let's just talk about the two-bedroom. Sunday through Thursday, a savanna view two-bedroom is 37 points. If you go to that same room on the weekend, it's 44. Which at first doesn't seem like much, but when you start adding it up together, you know, it kind of can balloon up if you're there a couple of times a year. You know, you can save yourself a substantial amount of points doing things. Taking those numbers into effect, the minimum that you can buy in for currently is 100 points. Would you say that that's a strong number to start with, Brian?
I say that it could be, yes, it can be. A lot of the stuff that affects into it is the time of year you're going to look to go, the types of rooms you're going to look to get. If you're going to look to get studios and you're going to look to go at off times of year, then yes, I think 100 points is definitely a doable amount for, you know, to go once a year, maybe even twice a year if you go at times where you can, you know, you can stretch your points to do that.
Yeah, because it also depends upon what resort is your home resort.
Yeah.
Because as I was just saying, those points for a two-bedroom for a full week, if you're staying at Old Key West, it's about 50 points less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's also something to keep in mind. 100 points is going to get you much further at Old Key West, at Saratoga Springs, than it would at Polynesian or Grand Floridian or Animal Kingdom Lodge. Now, Melissa, do you feel when we're visiting, is there such a wide gap of quality between Old Key West and, let's say, Grand Floridian?
I hate to use the word quality because I feel like the Disney stamp is all over all of it. So you really don't lose quality in terms of like the fact that the cleanliness is always there. You know, the food quality of the places are usually on par with most places in Disney. But amenities wise, I do feel like the higher point places do give you a little bit more.
Which they should.
Yeah.
Which they should.
So yeah, it kind of makes sense. So in that aspect, 100 points, if you're buying into Grand Floridian, it might not get you as many stays as it would at Old Key West. But it's almost like, you know, you're not paying, but you get your money's worth. You get your points worth.
Almost. Yeah. So, like, I mean, to give you an example, Old Key West is very, very beautiful looking. You're not going to get a view of the park, of a Disney park. There's nothing really stand out in the rooms. They're nice rooms. They're big. Nice, they're spacious. Mm-hmm. They're very comfortable. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing jaw-dropping about them.
No.
So there's no theme,
they're not
per
as
se.
Themed as, yeah. That's what's good. As yeah. some of the other resorts.
But then if you were to step foot into the lobby of the Grand Floridian, there's a much higher feel to it. And then the rooms, I mean, the mirror in the bathroom has a television in it.
Yeah.
So when you're getting ready in the morning, you can watch TV. The storage space is immense, even in a studio in Grand Floridian. We could see Tomorrowland from our balcony. There's a boat that we can take directly to Magic Kingdom from Grand Floridian. It's on the monorail line. Like, all of these things add up to separate one resort from another.
And another thing with the DVC resorts, certain resorts are like Grand Floridian, Animal Kingdom. They're hotel, I would say they're hotel style resorts where it's contained in one building.
Okay, yes.
Saratoga Springs and Old Key West are more like, I guess, a motel. That's not the right word, but the entrances, they're all
condo.
Separate buildings. More like a condo. More they're like a condo. There's a common, there's the check-in house, whatever you want to call it. And then there's separate buildings that each of these villas are actually located in. The entrances are outside. So that also like factors into things. For me, I don't like those resorts as much. I prefer the hotel style resorts.
Yeah, because then you don't have to necessarily get in your car to drive to the lobby.
Yeah.
You know, where in Saratoga, most of the time you do, unless you get a really terrible room in Kidani.
Yeah, there is one hotel where you may be further away from the lobby than you ever thought imaginable, and that is in Animal Kingdom, specifically in Kidani, but it can happen in Jumbo just as well.
Anyway,
it's shaped like a horseshoe, like two horseshoes.
Like Mickey ears.
Yeah, and if you're at the end of one of those ears, and the center of the ears is the lobby, you have like a solid 10 to 15 minute walk just to get to the lobby.
Yeah.
So It's a little rough.
No,
it can be a little rough.
No, like, it definitely is.
There's been times where, you know, we get back home from, you know, walking around the resorts and we have our refillable mug But I remember that to get a refill on this mug, I have to dedicate another 25 minutes to walk to the lobby and then get back to my room.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Where in the time frame of me walking back to the room, I'll probably finish the damn mug.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to want a refill. And then I'm just forever walking in the halls.
Well, that's why I always, whenever we stay there, I always request close to the lobby or close to the buses, because that puts you within walking distance.
You can always request a room near an elevator, near the lobby, a floor. It's never guaranteed, but you can put in a request.
Yeah, I mean, I've stayed there maybe 5 or 6 times in Animal Kingdom, and I've always had my request granted. I've never had it not granted.
Yeah, I've been pretty good so far. Yeah. We screwed ourselves at one time. Yeah. There was another room available immediately. We were like, yeah, okay, great. And then we were all the way at the end of the earth.
Yeah.
There's no special treatment for DVC members when you go to these resorts. And you, like, if you paid cash or if you're a DVC member, there's nothing different. You're welcomed at the gate. It's really, really awesome. But there's, you know, you're not above everybody else. Just to, you know, kind of put it that way.
Yeah.
Don't expect extra stuff just because you're a DVC member. You made an investment. This is what you invested in. You invested in your vacation. So I know a lot of people always ask, like, benefits. There are benefits, but not so much as, like, when you go to the hotel, here's a gift basket.
Yeah, you don't get to skip lines.
But, Melissa, what are some of the benefits? I know you got some of them listed over there.
Yeah, they call them perks. There's actually a lot of them. They have...
There are a lot. We're not going to list all of them, because you'll be reading the Constitution.
I'm just saying, like, there's perks... which are like discounts in restaurants on property, whether it's in the resorts or in the parks. You get both. There's discounts on shopping. There's discounts for like the tours, if you were going to do the tour of Animal Kingdom.
Normally these are all 10%.
They range. I looked a couple of them. Like if for, say you're in Epcot and you wanted to do lunch at Marrakesh.
Lunch is usually 20%.
Some of them, are 20%. Some of them, I also found there's a 15% for certain ones also. Like Chefs de France has a 15% for lunch or dinner. I don't know why.
What?
Not Monsieur Paul.
Oh, not Monsieur Paul?
No,
no. Okay. Say, wait a minute, what the hell?
there's discounts on the tours. There's discounts on the park tickets. Like when we get our annual passes, we go through DVC.
Yeah.
And we save about, what, a little over $100 per pass?
About, yeah.
Just about that, right?
Yeah.
And that also sticks around when you renew your pass. You renew it at a reduced rate.
Yeah.
These are not guaranteed forever perks. They can change year to year, just so you know.
Yeah. And like the restaurants might change, the shopping might change. Yeah. So it's always, you know, there's new ones annually, but you can also have discounts on like the spa places. You get certain benefits when you go to the spa. Like I saw one that was interesting. There's certain days that you can book a spa package, and it's a members package, and you can get a glass of wine with your, you know, spa experience. So it's just, it is a little bit extra for your, you know, being a DVC member. And then they do other things like there's exclusive cruises that they have. You have
There's member cruises.
There's they do in Disneyland their DVC member movie nights. They had a couple of times from, I guess, last November to March. There was a DVC fitness in the park in Disneyland, which is really cool.
Sounds terrible, but okay.
You go to California.
You're around the park, it's fitness enough.
Yeah, it's fitness enough.
Well, you go and you just have, like, you know, you register and only members are let in from 7 in the morning to 8 in the morning. And it's just like power walking around the park. So it's pretty empty because that's not park hours.
Are Dole Whips available?
I don't believe so. Also, it's fitness.
It's totally pointless.
But what was really cool, I did want to just mention, there's Adventure by Disney, the other part to Disney.
Okay.
There's exclusive dates and itineraries for members.
Yes, there is.
And there are certain perks, like the England and France tour goes on sale to the public June 10th. Well, for members, it goes on sale June 9th. So, you know, just a little extra stuff for being a member.
So there's a lot of little things you have to read through when you give you the perks book.
Yeah,
it's like a little booklet.
You get a book, right?
It's on the website also. There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, you can find it on the website as well.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's your overall view of what the benefits are, what you get out of a DVC ownership. Now, let's just talk a little bit about money to give you an idea of cost. Now, the weird thing is there's always some sort of deal going on. So whatever numbers that we could give you right now, it could change tomorrow. Like, nothing that we tell you will be 100% accurate from one day to the next, because there's always something changing. The points for certain hotels may go up, you know, the asking price per point.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. We're just going to give you our experience when we purchased. One of our experiences is from quite a while ago. It's from 7 years ago.
Yes.
Right? And since then, when we bought into Animal Kingdom, we bought at $100 a point. That number, I believe, for Animal Kingdom is now $155 a point. So it has increased by 50% since we had purchased it. It's also sold out now.
Yes.
But again, you can put yourself on a wait list and, you know, then you'll be fine. When we did that for $100 a point, we originally bought in for 160 points, which at the time, that was the minimum.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy less than that. So that minimum has been lowered significantly, but because the price per point has gone up so dramatically because people are vacationing again.
Yeah.
You know, that's the fact of the matter. It's just, you know, the economy is back up to where it was pre-9/11, close to it. People are vacationing again. When we bought for 160 points at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I want to say that we put down a down payment of $1,400 in that area.
Yeah, it's about
10%,
that.
In that area. I believe.
And so now our monthly payment for that particular resort with our mortgage payment and our dues is $280 a month.
Right.
And then after 10 years, when that is paid off in only three more years, our dues over at that resort, I believe, are only $80 a month. Okay. So then that will be all that we're paying for our ownership. Now, in stark contrast is our recent purchase of Grand Floridian. We only bought 50 points because we just wanted to get our foot in the door. It pretty much gives us a week stay every other year. At Animal Kingdom, our 160 points, we could use that for 2 weeks. And since then, we actually added 25 more points, which we paid for in cash, because we had heard we were told the price was going to be increasing, and we bought 25 more points.
Yeah, we had our tax refund. We were like, let's
do
it. Yeah,
and we did it with that. So now we have 185 points over there. Now we have 50 points at Grand Floridian. Now, Grand Floridian, again, we only bought 50 points, but our monthly on that is 120.
Right, with the dues, yeah.
Because that price point was 100 and how much?
I believe it was I want to say it was either 155 or 160.
155 sounds accurate.
Because it was going up.
It went up to 160 after we had purchased it.
Yeah, and they got us on the cruise telling us that it was going to be going up.
Yeah.
And we should buy in, and so we did.
Yeah, we did. Because we realized also it was the only time that we were probably going to have left until we had to buy a house, so we wouldn't have the money again.
And the good thing was the minimum that you could buy and finance was 50 points. So we were able to finance it. And, you know, it was doable.
Take care of that. So there's been a big jump in the price. But if you're interested in going, they can, you know, work out what numbers work best for you. And you can find yourself a vacation home. Now, again, that was a Grand Floridian. That was the most expensive one. If you want to save a lot of money, you can go the route that Brian recently went. Now, Brian, you bought not directly through Disney, but through a DVC resale on the internet, correct?
Yes, yes.
Now, tell us how that worked out for you.
There's a number of different companies out there that do it. It's very easy. If you just search for DVC resales, they'll come up with them. There's a number of them. And basically, it's the same type of way you would buy through Disney. You look for a contract with the use year you want, which we didn't really talk about, but there's a use year, the number of points, and then the price per point. Now, Pete just said Animal Kingdom was what, $155 a point last time?
Yes.
Yeah, so, most recently,
The contracts that are available now are between $78 and $82 a point on the resale market.
Yeah. So now, you're saving over 50%.
So you're saving over 50%.
And you're buying it from somebody who is looking to sell their ownership,
it's
correct?
Somebody who owns it who is selling it. They're going. It's a real estate transaction. So they're going through, they're real estate agencies that you deal with that do the resales. The only problems with that are you get all the same benefits. Nothing is hampered in terms of booking and and the types of rooms you can use and your user and all that stuff, that's all stays the same. Just some of the, even your perks are all the same. There's just, you can't, as Pete was talking about earlier, the RCI, you can't use it for that sort of stuff, but, or for like the Disney cruises. But like we had already said, that's not a good use of your points anyway. So that's not really deterrent. But where it can be a deterrent is you have to pay for this upfront unless you can get, you know, some type of other financing of some kind, but they don't finance usually. Some of these companies do. I didn't look into anything with that, with them financing. It looks like some of them do, like, have some type of financing and stuff. But if you go that route, you can basically get it for about half the price as going through Disney.
But you have to pay that all up front in one shot.
You have to. But I did, when I was looking, I did see some places that looked like that there was ways that they would be able to finance you. You'd probably have to go. It's the same type of thing like a regular mortgage or regular loan that you would go for. You know, you'd have to, you could apply for a loan for it. If you go to your regular bank up the block, they're probably not going to finance you for a timeshare.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you, you know, but if, but through these resale companies, they have people they work with that they can get you if you need to finance resale. It looks like you can. I'm not 100% positive because I didn't look at that route at all.
Okay.
But, and then the only other thing I wanted to say, because you had talked about, you pay your, you have to pay for the points, your loan plus the dues.
Yes.
Those dues go up every year. They're not the same, just so you're aware. Like whatever you, your dues are now, every year they go up by a certain percentage.
Yeah.
So that will constantly go up. I mean, I think this year it went up 5%, but the they fluctuate, which resorts, some resorts, every year you get a list of what the dues went up, the percentages they went up. It's, certain resorts went up 5%, certain resorts only went up like 1%. And then next year, those ones, will they flip-flop who goes up higher percentages. It's all based on stuff that I don't want to know.
Yeah. So another, you know, I just want to touch up on one thing and then we're going to kind of wrap this up. Another thing is when you purchase your points, you're going to buy into a use year. Now, what that basically means is you're going to set a month that you get your points every year. Now, for the ease of explanation, let's just say your use here starts in January and you own 100 points. That means that every January, you're going to get your 100 points. That's going to, you know, basically, you know, January 2015, you get 100 points. January 2016, you get 100 more points. And how these points work, also, there's another aspect to them. They have a life on them. They have a three-year window. If you want to go on a really big trip next, you know, next year, but you don't have enough points in your available to you in your current use year. You know, maybe you went earlier that year as well. But you want to have a big trip. You're going to bring some friends and blah, blah, blah. So you want a bigger room. You can borrow from the year ahead. So if we're talking about, you know, you want to go in, God, not June. You want to go in October. Okay? But your use year points for October of 2015, you don't have enough. You can borrow from your January 2016 points to then make up the difference of what you would need to book that trip. Conversely, if you don't use your points, you can save them into the next year. So if 2015, for whatever reason, you're really, really busy, you're not able to take as, you know, a vacation or as many vacations as you wanted to, and you have a bundle of points left over, you don't want them to go to waste. You can bank them into your 2016 year. So now you have 50 additional points or whatever the hell you have extra available to you the next year. So your points have a three-year lifespan on them, so you have a lot of flexibility, which we've used immensely.
Yeah.
We've borrowed and banked, which is what they call it when you save it from one year to the next. They call it banking them. We've done it multiple times every year. Something always gets shuffled around point-wise.
Yeah, and if you bank points, those are the points that you use first. So even if you don't use, you know, all of your 2016 points, they'll take from the 2015 banked ones first, so you kind of, you know, are saved from losing points.
Yeah.
And if you were going to take a big, big trip, you can bank, use your use year that year, and borrow. So you can do all three.
You can do all three. And if you're friends with somebody else who's a member, you can combine your points. You know, say you want to get one of the big villas, one of the really point-heavy, crazy villas. You can combine your points, unless you have enough money to do it on your own, which, of course, huzzah. You can combine points with somebody else and then all rent together. It gets a little wishy-washy because, you know, if you want to book somewhere 11 months in advance, you both have to own at the same resort because you have to be in your, you know, your reservation window. But still, it works out very well. If, for instance, me and Brian and Melissa, we could combine points. We both own at Animal Kingdom. And if we wanted to go on a big trip and rent the three-bedroom villa and, you know, go all out, but we don't have enough points on our own and Brian doesn't have enough points on our own, we can combine them and then go. So that's a very broad and very lot of information. Probably have to listen to this a couple of times.
Yeah.
A lot of information in a very short amount of time, trying to give you an idea of the Disney Vacation Club. I know it sounds really expensive, and it is. It's expensive. It's a cost. It's a car. It's like having a car.
Yeah.
But it's an investment in taking vacation for the next 50 years of your life, mm-hmm. which I feel is very important, especially us as a people. We work forever.
Yeah.
You know, you basically work 50 weeks a year to go away twice a year. Well, maybe with this, you can go away three times a year. Be a European and go away a month a year. That'd be nice. It's an investment in yourself and your time off. And if you enjoy going to Disney, you know that there's always going to be something new the next year. There's always going to be something coming up that you want to go to. You want to go to Food and Wine. You want to go to Star Wars weekends. You want to see the tree lit up for the Christmas lights and all that stuff. Well, your hotel is taken care of. And that's huge. Because guess what's always going to happen every year? Yeah, your dues are going to go up, like Brian said.
Yeah.
Your dues are going to go up 5%. You know how much that room's going to go up per year? Way more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, I was just going to say, like, the price equivalency of the room that you're going to get for the Disney Vacation Club villas, you know, your price per point, you know, versus what you would pay in a flat, you know, sum for that.
It does even out until you get past the 10-year mark.
It does, but spread out over a year, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, even it's a lot easier.
You know, and most people aren't going to be saving for a year for vacation. We know when we bring people, we tell them start saving, and they never do.
It usually doesn't work.
So, you know, it is kind of like a forced save.
To give you an idea of, like, how much, the Grand Villa, Lake Studio Villa at the Grand Floridian that me and Melissa just stayed at, if we paid that in cash, it would have been $3,200. There is no way. What?
Wait, $3,200 for the studio that we stayed at, or for the...
$3,200, because it's $640 per night.
Okay, no, I thought you said the Grand Villa, so I wanted to make sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, the Grand Villa is at the... Yeah.
But it's a studio room.
Yes.
Okay.
The villa's at the Grand Floridian for a Lakeview studio for five nights would have been $3,200. There's no way we would have ever put the money together for a five-night vacation for that. It would have never happened.
No.
It's only because of this that we were able to do it. And I tell you, there's a big jump. There's a big jump in quality when you go to these hotels. You feel it when you go in there. It's a nice feeling. It really, really is.
Yeah. That's the thing. It lets you stay at a nicer place than you would stay at otherwise. And I know some people are like, well, you know, you don't spend any time in your room. You just rush to the parks. When you do something like this, you tend to spend more time in your rooms. You tend to take the parks at a slower pace.
You're going to vacation
because you know you're coming
yep.
back. It changes the way you vacation at Disney, because now it doesn't turn into every 2 or 3 years I'm going to go. It's every year, at least once a year I'm going to go, because now you have this timeshare that it's basically forcing you to go to Disney, which is, if you want to, that's a great thing.
And it does. It changes the way you vacation. If you go 1 year, you know, whatever. You go 1 year and Pirates of the Caribbean is down for rehab, or the line at Toy Story Mania was too long, you didn't want to wait. You're not going to worry about it because you know what? I'm going to be back here in a couple of months, or I'm going to be back here whenever next year, once a year we go. So it's not a worry. We don't have to run around. We can enjoy the parks a little more, which ultimately that's what they were built for. For you to walk around, not for you to run around just trying to click everything off your list.
Yeah.
We bought in 7 years ago. I couldn't be happier that we did it.
Yeah.
I look forward to clearing up the ones that we have now and then seeing what they offer in the future.
Yeah.
I definitely want to get a third property within the next 10 years.
I definitely would like to add on to Grand Floridian, because we thought 50 points was enough, but after staying there, I want to stay there so much more than once every other year.
I do too.
Because it really spoiled me.
But Wilderness Lodge, It's going to be tough. We'll have to figure it out when it comes up. We got a number of years till that happens. You got to get rid of the other ones first, because right now we are good on our vacation points.
Yes.
For two people, 235 points is quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So that's about it. If you guys have any questions that we didn't cover here, email us, lastgenpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us also, @lastgenpodcast. Any questions you have towards DVC, any comments you have towards the Frozen attraction that's going to be opening up in Epcot, any general thoughts at all, just pass them along, and you know, we'll read your stuff on the air. I'd love to have an email episode eventually.
Yeah, like a Q&A, especially like with the Facebook group. It seems like a lot of people are seeking stuff there. So, you know, if you have more questions on DVC that we didn't get into, like room amenities or something like that, you want us to delve more deeply, put it up there. We'll talk about it. We'll see what we could do.
Even just basic Disney stuff, you know, park strategies, stuff like that. We can make a whole episode out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. You kidding me? What?
I'm so proud. My last installment of What to Do in Walt Disney World I put up today, Magic Kingdom. It was a monster of an article.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
You proofread it.
I did. Because you used the word infamous for multiple things, which makes it feel like everyone died because it's infamous. So I had to take out the infamous things.
Whatever. Anyway. So now you can find an article on Animal Kingdom, an article on Hollywood Studios, two separate articles on Epcot, because I did break up the food and attractions there, and then one giant one on Magic Kingdom.
So head on over to lastgenpodcast.com to find those, and just click on the Disney Magic Hour tab, and it will bring you over to there.
And a great thing I figured out how to work about that website is if you're at one article and you go to the bottom, the tags, I did tag like attraction and food and parks in a couple of them. If you click on that, it'll bring you to the other articles that also mention those.
Yeah, the tags are very useful because there's a lot of information now up on those pages, a lot of articles and stuff. So if you kind of want to hop around from one subject to the next, if it's tagged, it should bring you to the other ones that are we have to remember, though, capital letter in the beginning and a non-capital letter. Those two different tags.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we got to keep an eye on that. So, all right, that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. We will be back next week. I don't know. What do you want to talk about next week?
Yeah, we'll think about it.
I want to think about it now. Wait a minute. No. Oh, I know what we're doing. I'm going to say it because now it locks everything in because we were supposed to do that this week and we didn't do it. Next week, we're going to do Armchair Imagineering. I am requesting for these two to come up with one fully realized attraction they would love to see at the parks each. There's no rules on it. It just has to fit in a Disney park, any of the Disney parks. If you're listening to this and you have an idea of something you'd love to see, write it up. Send it in. I want to get a whole bunch of different ideas over here. I already have mine. I have a couple.
Yeah, you have a lot.
I have a lot.
You're cheating.
I'm fine.
Whatever.
So that's going to be next week. Little Armchair Imagineering. We're going to put together our own couple of little attractions that we would love to see if we had the power to do whatever we wanted to. For a final little notes, if you're hearing the music in the background now, you're hearing Wishery from Pogo. We are going to be interviewing him next week. Very excited. In a couple of days, we're going to be interviewing him. You can find his music over at soundcloud.com/pogomix. You can also find him at youtube.com/pogo, and then his website is pogomix.net. And again, us, you can find lastgenpodcast.com, @lastgenpodcast on Twitter. Our Facebook page is the Extra Magic Hour, and you can also find our Last Gen page. We have a couple of pages. And please head over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, and then please go over to the review section, put in a 5-star review for us. It's the best way, the most effective way to get us noticed on other pages. And you would be doing us a huge favor because we have a lot of places we want to go with this show, but we need the backing. So head on over there and do that for us. You guys have anything else you want to say really last moment?
No, I mean, if you guys like it, share it out. Make sure to share it with friends, family. Disney fans,
yeah,
you know, get the word out for us.
Over at the website, that Extra Magic Hour group that we have, invite your friends. You can invite as many as you want. Go nuts.
It's Disney Magic Hour.
Oh, I keep saying extra?
Yeah, it's okay. It's
old
cool.
School. Disney Magic Hour. You can find us over there. Melissa, anything the final say?
Nope.
Okie dokie. So for now, say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Pete. Say goodnight, Pogo. Later, guys.